I love reading the book of Acts. If ever you want to know what mission is truly all about, if you want to know what the mission of the church is all about, read Acts. It is encouraging, it's inspiring, and it shows us how to tell people about him and how we can do it. I heard a wonderful story just the other day of a soldier during the American Civil War who was so distressed about what was happening, he found himself in a nearby park, wondering what to do next. He was desperate to talk to the president. And in his distress, a little boy approached him. And the little boy asked him what was wrong. And the soldier, for some reason, blurted everything out. Told this little boy everything. The little boy said, "I know what to do." He took the soldier by the hand and he led the way through the park towards the White House. As they approached the White House, the amazing thing was they didn't go through the front door like he was expecting. They went round the back. And as they went round the back, they actually had to go past some soldiers. And to the soldiers' amazement, the guards just parted ways and let this little boy through. They went through the back door of the White House. They went bursting through the corridors and they went bursting through the door of the Oval Office. And this soldier was thinking, what on earth is this little boy doing? And as they burst through the doors, the president span round and said, "Hello, boy. What can I do for you? Hello, son. How can I help you?" You see, that boy had a different relationship with the president of the United States. And because of that little boy, that soldier was able to burst through the doors and go and speak to the president directly himself. Friends, tonight we are going to look at this simple phrase, the power of prayer. You see, just as that little boy was able to burst through the doors, friends, you and I have a wonderful opportunity. Not just even here on a Wednesday night, but in our very homes as well. You and I have an opportunity to pray and talk to our commander in chief. We don't have to come up with a certain code word or knock the door in a certain way. We could just burst into his presence like that child bursting in to the Oval Office. How wonderful is that? You and I get to talk to God on his throne, at the throne room of grace. And we can do it as simply as a child talks to their father. Acts chapter 12 makes it very clear. There are seasons of life that are difficult. Have a look at verse 1. "And at that time, Herod the king laid violent hands on them who belonged to the church." You see, this isn't an easy time for those who are living in the book of Acts. They are going through a stressful and serious time. The authorities are out to get them. They want to suppress and to block and to push Christianity out of their country altogether. Does it sound familiar? Herod kills James, the brother of John, with the sword. And when he sees that it pleases the crowd, when he sees it please the Jews, he's going to do it to Peter as well. And this was during the days of unleavened bread. But notice what the church does. Verse 5 says this, and it's my first point. "So Peter was kept in prison, but earnest prayer for him was made to God by the church." That's my first point, is about earnest prayer. The situation is not good. King Herod is engulfed with rage, wielding his power of authority to destroy Christianity with all the physicality and brutality that he can. Notice Peter is arrested, and it's made clear that King Herod's going to make a good spectacle out of this next one. Just note, like any other good politician, when they see something that's been received as popular, they'll do it again and again and again. And this was done during the days of unleavened bread, the 7 days following the Passover meal. These days were considered holy and could not be desecrated by an execution. Hence the fact that Peter is not immediately killed, but taken away to prison to wait out the week. And then the big spectacle can begin. But what's the reaction of the church? Does the church go into panic mode? Do they have crisis meetings? Do they have committees of what on earth are we going to do next? No. The reaction of the church is to pray. An earnest prayer at that. You see, I don't know about you, but when it comes to prayer, we sometimes see prayer as passive. As an evangelist who goes out and goes out to schools and goes out to meet people and goes to talk to people, sometimes prayer seems passive. You've got to stop. You've got to slow down. You've got to spend time in the quiet instead of the constant action. But listen, without times of prayer, nothing happens. It's true, isn't it? How many times have we as a church, how many times have we tried to do something in our own strength and we've fallen at the first hurdle? Why? Because we tried to do it in our own strength. How many times have we seen something just like kicks? I don't know where it's going to go. We weren't sure how it was ever going to grow. I tell you, prayer changes things. Without prayer, nothing truly ever happens. In his book, Serve Without Sinking, a chap called John Hindley, and I highly recommend his book, he comments on a passage from Mark 9. Mark 9 reads like this: later, the disciples asked their Lord, "Why could we not drive it out?" He replied, "This kind can only come out by prayer." I'm sure you remember that passage as Jesus sends them out two by two to go and preach the gospel and share the kingdom of God. Their one request, "Lord, why couldn't we heal that one? Why couldn't we do anything with that one?" So John Henley comments with this line: they had used all their gifts, all their skills, and all their efforts, but they hadn't done the only thing that would work: prayer. It's good, isn't it? They'd used all their gifts, all their skills, and all their efforts, but they hadn't done the only thing that would work: prayer. I'm always amazed by heroes of the faith. I love reading church history and reading Christian biographies. And I came across Billy Bray, who was an evangelist in the tin mines. Billy was physically building the church, evangelizing, and then working down in the mines. That was his day. One night on his way home, before they went to bed, his wife said, "Billy, we have no more money left." So they did the only thing that would work. They prayed about it. The next morning, Billy was on his way to the mines when somebody stopped him and put £10 in his hand on his way to work. As Billy then went to build the church that evening, he met a man in need. So he gave him £5. After Billy had spent some time physically building the church, he then went on his way home, back to his home. He saw someone else in need. And he gave him £5 as well. As he burst through the doors of his house, he said, "Wife, The Lord has provided. She said, oh, hallelujah. He said, yes, but I've already given it away. I tell you, the faith of Billy is one thing. But I tell you this, the faith of his wife must have been even greater. That night, they prayed again for the Lord to provide. The next morning, Billy went to work and somebody came past him and gave him £20. Isn't that amazing? Prayer changes things. As the old hymn writer put it, have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Why? Because we can take it to the Lord in prayer. Friends, I wonder, are we earnest with our prayers? Are we convinced? Do we know within ourselves that we know that God can answer? And he will answer in his own way, in his own time. Friends, I'm not saying that when we pray, we should pray and God will give us whatever we've asked for. Otherwise, we'll all be outside with our Porsches and our Volkswagens. I always remember that song, oh Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes-Benz? My friends all have Porsches, I just want to make amends. But I do know this, that when we pray, God does answer. It might not be in the way that we expect, might not be in the way that we thought best, but God does answer prayer. And that's my second point. My second point is that God answers prayer. Because we read in verse 6, now when Herod was about to bring him out on that very night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and sentries before the door were guarding the prison. What time is it? It is literally the 11th hour. The church have been praying for a whole week for God to release Peter, for something truly miraculous to happen. And when does it happen? Literally at the last minute. The very night before Herod's about to bring Peter out and make a spectacle out of him, the Lord answers the prayer. It truly amazes me that Peter sees the angel. He sees him break the chains. He leads him past the guards who have fallen asleep. He takes him past the gate. The gate swings open. And during the whole thing, Peter is thinking to himself, oh, this is the best dream I've ever had. But the amazing thing is, it's not a dream. It's reality. How? Because God answers prayer in a real, powerful, dynamic, and unexpected way. So when we pray, let's remember who it is we're praying to. When we pray, let's remember we're praying to the God who created all things, who sustains all things, who brings salvation, who brings and releases men and women and boys and girls and brings them out of the kingdom of darkness into his glorious light. That's the God we come to. Not the God who is distant and far away. Not the God who doesn't understand our problems. We come to the God who is close and near to those who call on him. Hallelujah. What a Savior we have. That's why it's important when we come to prayer, we reflect on God's character. We reflect on who he is. Before we bring our requests, we thank him for who he is. How many times have we come to pray and we've come with our shopping list? Morning God, here's the list. I need this, we need this. Could be great if you did that. How does Jesus help his disciples to pray? He tells them, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He helps them to get the perspective. Reflect on who he is. Then come with your requests. And know that God will answer. Thank God that when we pray tonight, and we pray big prayers for our family and for our friends, for our community, for our schools, for our church, thank God tonight that when we come to him, his storehouses are full. They are abundant with treasure, with gifts, with talents, with resources, and with the grace that we need. There's not a moment that goes by when Nigel prays and the Lord replies, I'm awfully sorry, Nigel, I'm out of courage today. Come back tomorrow, I might have some more in. No. His storehouses are full to bursting. Scripture tells me he will supply us with all our needs in his riches in Christ Jesus. We need to be a people who pray earnestly and expectantly, knowing that he will answer. And listen, have a look at verse 11. When Peter came to himself, he said, now I am sure that the Lord has sent an angel and has rescued me from the hand of Herod and from all the Jewish people who were expecting. Listen, if the Lord can do that, then there is nothing our God cannot do. The children's song's got it spot on, hasn't it? My God is so big, so strong and so mighty. There is nothing my God cannot do. The third thing I want to share with you tonight is found in verse 12. The effect of prayer. Verse 12 reads like this. When he, Peter, realized this, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose other name was Mark, where many were gathered together and were praying. And when he knocked on the door of the gateway, a servant girl called Rhoda came to answer the door. What is Peter's response to being set free? He runs and reports back to the church. The very church who were earnest in prayer for Peter to be released. This next section looks like a comedy sketch, doesn't it? The very church that had been praying earnestly that, Lord, will you please set Peter free? I'm here. Hello. The girl calls to answer the door, and she's so excited that Peter's at the door, she doesn't answer the door, she runs back in and tells them all. And what's their response? Ah, can't be Peter. You must be out of your mind. I tell you, it's him, he's at the door. You can't be him. Perhaps it's his ghost, it's angel or something. They are so earnest in their prayers for Peter to be released, they didn't believe that God could actually answer the prayer. And we could be the same, can't we? We pray a prayer, or we hear somebody pray a prayer, and we say, oh, that's too big. That's too trivial. That's too extraordinary for God to do. Friends, I believe in a God who answers prayer. It may not be to my timing, or to my schedule, or to my plans, but I tell you, he answers prayer every time. As a student, I was on the Christian Union Committee, and I was the evangelism secretary, would you believe? And we had a president who was new to the faith. He was fairly young. His name was Nick. And he had all these ideas of the things he wanted to do, and we didn't click at all. So I started to pray, because I believe in a God who answers prayer. So I prayed for Nick. I prayed, Lord, would you sort him out? Lord, would you change him? Lord, you need to deal with him. You need to soften his heart. You need to change him, Lord. Do you know what the amazing thing is? Is that over the next few months, God did answer that prayer. But God didn't change Nick at all. He changed me. Why? Because I came to see him who he truly was. He was a brother in Christ. Yes, he was young in the faith. Yes, he went to a different church than me. But I could see that the Lord was using him. and using him in that role. Wasn't the way I expected. Wasn't on my schedule. But the Lord does answer prayer. So what is the response of the church then, this answered prayer, when they finally realize it is Peter who's at the door? In verse 17, they are shocked to see him. They are truly amazed. They must have been whooping and cheering with so much excitement. And in verse 17, Peter tells them, shh, they still could be after me. They let him in. Peter describes to them how the Lord had brought him out of prison. And then he tells them, tell these things to James and to the brothers. And then they departed and went to another place. The response of the church was to praise and to worship and to celebrate what God has done. They listen to Paul's testimony and then they go and share that story. They go and see James and the other brothers. But look what ultimately happens at the end of verse 24. The word of God increased and multiplied. King Herod had all these amazing plans of how he was going to destroy Christianity right there and then. He'd already got rid of one. He was about to get rid of the leader, the very one who was in charge of this whole operation. And the Lord dealt with him swiftly. But not even King Herod could stop the word of God from reaching people. And the same is still true today. People heard the gospel. Lives were transformed. The church expanded and the gospel spread like wildfire. And friends, the truth is, there is nothing and no one that can truly stop the word of God even today. Not even a pandemic. The word of God increased and multiplied. That's what we can take hold of. That's what can encourage us. Whatever happens in this next week, whatever season you are going through, family, personally, as a church, whatever the situation, let us be those who pray earnestly, knowing that God does and can and will answer prayer in his own way, in his own timing. And thank God, ultimately, his word will increase. It'll spread across Wales again. It'll go across the nations once again. And we are called to simply play our part in that.